The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Over the last 3 years, women's reproductive rights have come under attack in a way we haven't seen in modern history. From Louisiana to Missouri to Texas, Republican legislatures are waging a war on women, all women, and they're taking away fundamental rights. I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
So I know that there's an outrage right now, I guess, about protests that have been peaceful to date. And we certainly continue to encourage that outside of judges' homes. And that's the president's position.
We've been told by several law enforcement officials that a man was arrested overnight near the home of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. He was armed with a gun, a knife, and pepper spray, and told authorities that he was there to kill the justice. Now, he was not arrested at the home of the justice. He was arrested nearby. Law enforcement officials tell us that the man actually arrived by taxi and was seen by police and other law enforcement officials that were near the justice's house. The man is said to be from California. He had told the police when he was arrested that he wanted to do this. But that's just about all we know right now. The Supreme Court hasn't had any comment yet about the case, although they're certainly well aware of it. The justice is aware of it. It's been a time of heightened tension around the Supreme Court. And there have been, as you know, some public demonstrations outside Justice Kavanaugh's house and other members of the court. And ever since the leaked opinion of Sam Alito's draft opinion in the Roe v. Wade case, the Mississippi abortion case, there's been a non-scalable high fence that's been around the Supreme Court building itself.
Yeah, you think back to that leaked opinion, and what was the purpose for the leak? They want to reverse the opinion. It's a 5-4, so far as we know, it's a 5-4 majority, including Brett Kavanaugh. And so here's a radical left-wing criminal thug. He's on his way. He's from California. He's on his way to Brett Kavanaugh's house, which the address is all over Google. It's all over the internet. Thanks to, again, left-wing agitators. And here he is about to assassinate or to murder a sitting justice on the Supreme Court. These are terrifying times that we're living in. And your Bible, of course, prophesies that it's going to get even worse. I mean, that's challenging for us to wrap our minds around just the scale of it. What's coming? You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of this show through CRN, Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on their platform. But to get to the live video stream, you've got to go to our very own website. That's thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live. It takes you to the live stream page. You get all of the most recent programs posted after the fact in case you need to catch up on your TD viewing. Quick reminder on Celtic Throne. They're in Denver, Colorado tonight. We're expecting a crowd of about 500, I think it is. So hopefully we'll get some last-minute sales today, just like we did on Monday for the Edmund Show. We had, three or four of our performers on one of the local news channels earlier today. We should have looked into getting a clip of that. I wonder if that's online somewhere. Maybe we can track that down and start showing you some of those bits. I think we did that last summer and the summer before. As they go on tour, some of those local news outlets are happy to promote events that are going on in their city. So Denver is tonight, and don't forget Rapid City. I think we're rapidly approaching 550, 600 people for that particular performance. That's coming on Monday night. So just go to CelticThrone.com, and you can get all of the cities that the tour will be going through, and you can order tickets online. Monday night's Rapid City. Sunday, they're performing. The dancers are performing at Mount Rushmore. They've got three 30-minute performances just beneath the iconic monument there in South Dakota. So we're excited to get some footage of the dancers at that famous national park in just south of Rapid City, South Dakota. So an assassination plot. If it were not a conservative, of course, it would be wall-to-wall coverage. It would be front page news for sure. As it is, the New York Times, it made page 20. Page 20. They actually had a little item at the bottom of page one that said, arrest near the House of a Justice. You can see that circled in orange. Right at the very bottom of the page, telling you that, hey, if you want to hear about or read about the assassination plot against Brett Kavanaugh, flip over to A20. Flip over to page 20 in the front section of the New York Times. That's the level of coverage that they give to this. This 26-year-old, a man by the name of Nicholas John Roski, he's arrested yesterday morning in the early hours of the day, 2 a.m., and he's armed with a Glock handgun. He's got two magazines, a knife, magazines filled with bullets, a knife, pepper spray, zip ties, duct tape, and other tools. What was he planning to do? What was he planning to carry out? Well, he told the police, I'm upset. I'm upset about this Roe v. Wade ruling. I want to murder Brett Kavanaugh. And he wanted to do who knows what to his family. Duct tape, zip ties. This is disgusting. It's appalling. And here you've got Chuck Schumer. He's the senator from New York saying, we're coming after you, Kavanaugh. That's right. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions. Chuck Schumer, by the way, he was asked after they started to rally around, protest around these houses of Supreme Court justices. He was asked, and that's illegal, by the way, but he was asked, Schumer was asked, just like Psaki in that montage, are you comfortable with this? Yes, of course. Of course I'm comfortable with this. We don't mind violent protests as long as they're left-wing agitators, because that really, it helps to propel our agenda. There was an item just breaking right now that Paul Pelosi, he crashed into another vehicle. He was drunk, so drunk driving, and the DUI charge is dropped because he's married to Nancy Pelosi. He's made tens of millions of dollars on inside trading. They're worth $200 to $300 million, these two. So he gets into a drunk driving crash. Do you think you're going to be let off the hook of a DUI charge? Well, you're seeing how the system works. Two-tiered system, two standards of justice. That coach Del Rio the other day said as much. Look, if you're gonna have this big circus tonight for the January 6th protest, then what about for the summer of 2020? That went on for 120 days, and people's businesses were destroyed. People's businesses went up in flames. He said about the protests on January 6th, There was no looting. I mean, there was some vandalism, trashing offices and so on. But the Capitol didn't go up in flames. The Capitol returned to normal in 4 hours. If only the businesses in Minneapolis could have returned to business, the ones that were burned down. If only they could have come back and returned for business in 4 hours after the BLM protest. Wouldn't that have been nice? But instead, lives were destroyed. livelihoods were destroyed. The Washington Post says, according to a criminal complaint charging Nicholas John Roski with attempted murder of a federal judge, two U.S. deputy marshals spotted Roski get out of a cab in front of Kavanaugh's home at approximately 1:05 a.m. He looked at the marshals and then walked down the street. Not long after, Montgomery County got the call from Roski saying he was suicidal and came to kill Kavanaugh. So here's a mentally unstable individual. There's quite a few of them in the world today. Certainly the one that shot up the school in Uvalde. I'm sure demon-possessed. Now that got headlines. The shooting in Tulsa didn't. No, no. That barely got a mention the day it happened. What of all these mentally unstable lunatics? They're roaming the streets. This is why they voted the DA out of San Francisco, as we covered yesterday. Because we're seeing our cities in decline. And it's happening. It's happening so fast, just in these last few years in particular. I mean, there've always been criminals in cities. There's always been that criminal element. But the criminals, to be sure, they have the upper hand. The Post article says here, this guy had a Glock 17 with two magazines and ammunition, pepper spray, a tactical knife, a hammer, a screwdriver, a crowbar, zip ties, and duct tape, along with other gear. I mean, that's quite a lot. Quite a lot of weaponry. Are they gonna call for legislation to keep into? Now he's 26, so I guess if he has to wait until he's 21, or if they have to do some kind of background check, who knows what the background check was like with respect to his handgun? He was able to travel all the way across the country, and he showed up in a cab, right outside of Justice Kavanaugh's home, because his address is plastered all over the internet, don't you know? Says here, Roski told police he was upset over the leaked draft of an opinion that would overturn the unconstitutional right to abortion and also over the recent school shootings in Uvalde, Texas. He's upset. Says here, he decided to kill Kavanaugh and then himself, according to the police officer, thinking it would give his life purpose. Now, switch the roles around. This is a right-wing extremist going off to kill a left-wing justice. Well, you know how it would be treated. Here's the Senate Minority Leader, Mitch McConnell, yesterday on the Senate floor, clip two.
Moments ago, the Washington Post published an extremely disturbing report. According to the report, a man in his mid-20s was stopped near the house of a Supreme Court justice carrying a weapon and burglary tools. He reportedly told police he intended to murder the justice. Reportedly, he indicated he was angry at the decision he thinks the court may reach in an upcoming case in light of the unconscionable leak from a few weeks back. So this is where we are. This is where we are, Mr. President. If these reports are correct, an assassination attempt against a sitting justice or something close to it. This is exactly the kind of event that many feared that the terrible breach of the court's rules and norms could fuel.
This is where we are, says the Senate Minority Leader. Of course, that's the day it happened. And you could expect this story to fall by the wayside, just like the Tulsa shooting. But this is where we are due to this unconscionable leak. This unconscionable, unprecedented leak coming out from the Supreme Court. What was the purpose? Obama's the one that ordered it. Remember, the leak happened right as 2,000 Mules was coming out. We've been over the timeline before. Obama's the one pulling the strings on the puppet that is Joe Biden, off on the comedy circuit last night to make a fool of himself. It's against the law to picket, parade, or protest in front of the house of a federal judge. It's against the law to do any of that. And yet, Jen Psaki, Chuck Schumer, all of them, they said, hey, go and protest. Never mind the law. We've got to overturn Roe v. Wade. And then here comes Roski. He's about to take matters into his own hands. Ruth sent us. That's the radical left-wing group that doxed Kavanaugh's address. They put him on online, put his address out there for everyone to see. Yeah, that's just typical. Left-wing violence. I mean, if it fulfills their agenda, their purpose, the more the better. Schumer and Biden, Psaki, none of them will apologize. You know, Biden was on, I don't know how many minutes he was on with Kimmel last night in his interview with the comedian. Doesn't even mention Kavanaugh. This is the news of the day, you would think. It doesn't even get met. Roe v. Wade. Now, yeah, of course. Of course we're going to get into that. That may trigger a mini revolution, said Biden. But they can't even talk or discuss the plot to murder a Supreme Court justice? Really? This is where we are, Mitch McConnell says. We're seeing an alarming rise in left-wing political violence. And here comes the circus for January 6th. And where was the violence? Besides the police officer that shot Ashley Babbitt, where was the violence? You can't find it. And yet there's still journalists perpetuating the lie, the big lie, that five officers were killed because of the January 6th protest. I forget the network. It was just the other night. Tucker mentioned this a day or two ago. Five officers. In years to come, it's going to be 20 or 30, because anyone who is even close to January 6th, if they died 20 years later from diabetes or a heart attack, well, surely they're going to be a Jan 6 casualty. That's the way these communists reason. Well, listen, skip ahead to clip 6, I think this is. Listen to the chief of staff at the White House talk about, you've heard all of their statements about how perfect the economy is. Biden said it on the funny show last night, that it's better than it's ever been in history. Here's their self-assessment on the fight against COVID, clip 6.
Obviously, when the president got here, our first challenge was try to make progress on COVID. And between the vaccines, the boosters, and of course, our unprecedented rollout of Paxlovid, the anti-COVID drug, we've seen deaths drop 90% since he's been here.
Wow, 90% drop in deaths in COVID. That's like Biden after the government nukes 20 million jobs because of the mandatory lockdowns. And then 8 million people come back to work. That's Biden basically saying, hey, we've created 8 million jobs. We've created more jobs than any person in history. That's the way they play with the numbers on COVID as well. A 90% drop. More people have died of COVID under Biden than under Trump. But you'd never know it. Where is the reporter challenging him massaging the statistics that way? Of course, they're nowhere to be found. They just sit there and nod along like clapping seals, basically. It's embarrassing. Listen to the minority rep. This is over in the House. Kevin McCarthy. See what he has to say yesterday. Clip 3.
Earlier today, a man was arrested for plotting to kill Justice Kavanaugh. Over a month ago, the Senate unanimously passed a bill to provide more security for Supreme Court justices and their family. But House Democrats have let that bill gather dust. This is the same parties whose heated rhetoric has encouraged political pressure on conservative justices.
Yeah, they had a bill go through the Senate about a month ago, as he said there, just to beef up security around the Supreme Court justices at a time when there's so much hot-headed emotion over Roe v. Wade. And it gets to the House and Nancy Pelosi blocks it. She was confronted on it just a few minutes ago and she snapped at the reporter. They're safe. Those justices are safe. Well, why didn't you put through this legislation to beef up their security? I mean, you turned Washington, D.C. into an armed camp after January 6th. There certainly is some precedent for beefing up security. They've done it around the Supreme Court itself. How about the homes that Ruth sent us doxed? No, that just gathers dust, as McCarthy says there. So here are the same people that want to take away your guns. Presumably, assuming he has a gun, they would want to take away Kavanaugh's firearm. And yet here comes Roski, all the way from California. And he tells authorities, yeah, I want to commit suicide. I'm mentally deranged. I'm really upset about Roe v. Wade. Really upset about Uvalde. Thought I could take out Kavanaugh. And that barely gets a mention in the New York Times. Really? This is really some sick and appalling stuff, for sure. This is what CNN considers itself to be balanced. Here's CNN yesterday, clip 4.
The major concern here with this abortion ruling from federal officials, and they've been sounding the alarm on this for about a month, is that Supreme Court justices will certainly be, potentially targeted by violent extremists who are angered over this pending ruling that is poised to strike down Roe v. Wade. This is an extremely passionate issue. There are emotions on both sides. Federal officials have made clear over and over they believe the risk truly comes from both sides of this abortion debate.
Of course, because the so-called white supremacists, they're the greatest threat facing the United States. So the threat, CNN, this is CNN. The threat comes from both sides. Even as this radical leftist communist travels across the country with guns, knives, screwdrivers, duct tape, zip ties. Then the fake president goes on The Funny Show last night, making matters worse. As I say, no mention whatsoever of something so gravely serious. Here's a montage Sam put together, clip 5.
It's Joe Biden. Paul, do you mind if I ask you some serious questions? Because this is, unfortunately...
Not at all. I never mind having a conversation with someone really smart.
What I don't want to do, and I'm not being facetious, I don't want to emulate Trump's abuse of the Constitution and constitutional authority. That's sincerely, because I often get asked, look, the Republicans don't play it square. Why do you play it square?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? If we do the same thing they do, our democracy will literally be in jeopardy.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Not a joke. And
I understand their argument, but also it's like you're playing Monopoly with somebody who, won't pass go and won't follow any of the rules. And how do you ever make any progress if they're not following the rules?
Well, you've got to send them to jail, And there's that little box in there.
Directly to jail?
Go directly to jail. Okay.
And your granddaughter is here, the family is here.
And her fiancé.
And fiancé?
Yeah, it's my daughter's birthday.
Oh, how about that? Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, baby. And what is the successor to Chrysler's doing the same thing? We're moving in directions that are being slow. Look, we won. I got 81 million votes, more than anybody's ever gotten. And thank you for those who you helped me with. But look, here's where we are. We have the fastest growing economy in the world. The world.
Yeah.
No, but I'm serious. You turn on the TV, look at the ads. When's the last time you saw biracial couples on TV? When's the last time you saw people are selling products. They do ads to sell products. But
why
we have made some progress there. So the reduction on the use of oil also increases the need to find alternatives.
Mm-hmm. No question about it.
So there's a lot of major things we've done. But what we haven't done is we haven't been able to communicate it in a way that is, let me say it another way.
Well, see, that's kind of perfect.
It is perfect. A perfect way to say how that they've communicated all that they've done, and he breaks off into something that's not really coherent. That's the fake administration. There are the consequences for the election steal of 2020. Going on and on about the economy being better than it's ever been in the world, the fastest growing economy in the world, Three times. For emphasis. Barack Obama. Speaking of the election steal, I didn't cover the story on the Census Bureau, the mistakes they made in the counting, and how that it benefited the blue states. And the reason this is important is the census counts the population of the United States every 10 years. And it just so happens that they overcounted in blue states, which gives blue states more congressional seats, and they undercounted in red states. How come it always happens in that direction, even when they're just doing a simple population count? And then the census comes out later and says, you're right, all the congressional districts have been redrawn. We did make some mistakes. They were pretty egregious. So typical, isn't it? Paul Pelosi, charges dropped. January 6th, they're languishing in jail. BLM protesters roaming freely. There's this article in the Epoch Times saying President Obama, Barack Obama, approved a statement by the U.S. intelligence community in October 2016. This was at the peak of the Russiagate scandal. Trump was a Russian agent. Obama, the point of this article is, he knew about this. I mean, we've made this point before, so obvious. But here it is in the Epoch Times. He approved a statement by the U.S. intelligence community in October 2016 accusing Russia of stealing emails from the DNC, despite the U.S. government not having obtained the DNC server images crucial to ascertaining whether Moscow was involved in the theft. And Moscow undoubtedly was not involved. And yet there they were. They had to use it. They had to use it as part of their charge against Trump that he was a Russian stooge. Well, look, Russia broke into the DNC servers. Says FBI emails recently made public during the trial against now acquitted DNC attorney Michael Sussman. And we've talked about how that even though acquitted, the revelations to come out from that trial have just added to the evidence of this lawless Antiochus administration prophesied in your Bible. The server images, which are equivalent to a virtual copy of the alleged crime scene, were taken by private cybersecurity from CrowdStrike. It says on October 7, 6 days before CrowdStrike agreed to mail the server images to the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence released a statement accusing Russia of hacking U.S. political organizations and disseminating emails allegedly stolen through the hack. It says the president approved the statement. The president approved the statement. I know he wanted us to make the statement. So that was very definitely a statement by the U.S. government, not just Jim Clapper or me, Johnson told the House Intelligence Committee in June 2017. So all of this evidence pointing to the fact that Obama knew. The Wall Street Journal should write another article. They had the one a couple weeks ago. Hillary did it. And then Obama knew, although it was worse than that. Obama ordered it. Obama was president. Hillary did it. Obama was over it, just like he's over the fake president today. This is his third term, for sure. He's running it from the basement, as he joked with another one of the late night funny men. He's running it from the basement because he's always loved the work, you see. This last article I'll just touch on from the Daily Mail. Just earlier this week, healthy young people are dying suddenly and unexpectedly from a mysterious syndrome as doctors seek answers through a new national register. Well, this is from the UK, but healthy people, middle-aged people, people 30, 40 years of age, dropping dead. You know what's not mentioned in this article? There is not one word about the vaccine. It's kind of like the interview with Kimmel last night. Not one word about Kavanaugh. If it doesn't fit their narrative, then just leave it out. Just blot it out. That's the way that it works. We're very familiar with this formula. People aged under the age of 40 being urged to go to get their hearts checked. Why are young people, for the most part, they're young, younger than me, why are they being urged to go and get their hearts checked? says here, people aged under 40 are being urged. Well, I read that. The syndrome known as SADS has been, that's sudden adult death syndrome, has been fatal for all kinds of people, regardless of whether they maintain a fit and healthy lifestyle. SADS is an umbrella term to describe unexpected deaths in young people, says this outfit. Further on, it says signs include a family history of a SADS diagnosis or sudden unexplained death of a family member. Further on, it says last year, a 31-year-old woman, Catherine Keane, died in her sleep while living with two friends in Dublin. It says Melbourne's Baker Heart and Diabetes Institute is developing the country's first SADS registry. Happening in Australia? Happening in the UK? Is it happening here in the United States? I think so. And yet, the elephant in the room, what is it? That would be the vaccine. When we come back, we'll conclude today's show with our Bible study segment. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the program, you can email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Is there a more urgent expression in the Bible than the last hour? When he wrote his epistles, the Apostle John thought it was the last hour before Christ's second coming. In fact, it was only a type of our time today. Every detail of what John prophesied is now being fulfilled. Request the last hour. Never before has proper time management been more important, and this book will give you the urgency you need to organize your life God's way. Request The Last Hour. As part of this free offer, request The 7 Laws of Success by Herbert W. Armstrong, one of his most popular books ever. Again, both books are completely free, so contact us now and get the help you need to organize your life God's way.
The Trumpet Daily.
A lot of people, as I commented on last week, they're looking at the Platinum Jubilee for the Queen of England as a sort of celebration of Western values, a triumph for the Queen. It certainly is in terms of longevity. But they're going a little overboard, I think, some of the commentators, talking about how that these ceremonies really represent everything that's good about the West. Here's a take from Spectator. It says, for the second weekend in a row, I observed a phenomenon that signaled a major rightward shift in the political-cultural axis. The previous weekend brought the enormous box office success of Top Gun Maverick, which came as a shock to everyone except those of us who spent the last decade decrying mass social justice anger as media gaslighting. Says just how gaseous became clear this Sunday with the cheer of the crowd in front of Buckingham Palace the moment Queen Elizabeth II appeared on the balcony during the finale of her Platinum Jubilee. It was the cheer heard round the world, a victory cry of Western values over Marxist forces. Now, we certainly have been commenting quite a lot on the temporary resurgence prophesied in 2 Kings 14 and God intervening to save Israel from having its name even being blotted out. But still, this doesn't mean that we're without sin or that we're not being cursed because of our sins. If you haven't already, go through the United States and Britain in prophecy. You can call our operators today and request this central text, really, with respect to prophecy. I mean, this is the foundational book that you need. The number's 1-866-930-3024. The Spectator piece here says, the moment literally trumpeted everything the left abhors, the Platinum Jubilee, that is. The things the left abhors, love, joy, beauty, class, patriotism, and tradition. And to be sure, some of that was on display at that Platinum Jubilee celebration. But as we've commented, my father brings this out in The New Throne of David, the celebrity culture that the royals are almost obsessed over. Prince William, obviously Harry and Meghan, they've gone their separate ways. They want to be Hollywood celebrities, basically. All of these performers, this is from the BBC, Diana Ross, Sir Rod Stewart, Duran Duran were among the big names. It says here, in the short film, the Queen and Paddington tap their teacups to the beat of Queen's We Will Rock You as the regally themed band with their U.S. singer began performing the hit. Further on, it says other current pop stars on the bill included Mimi Webb, Celeste, Jax Jones. A crowd of about 22,000 watched the concert in person, plus millions more on TV. So it was a celebration, for sure. And here comes the celebrity culture, as always. If you read the trumpet briefs last week, you know that my father had a pretty different take on the Platinum Jubilee than from The Spectator. He said that she's been on her throne for 70 years, her Platinum Jubilee is being celebrated. And yet, my father said, yet amid the pageantry, a dark cloud hangs over the royal family. And he goes on and talks about Prince Andrew's sex scandals. Obviously, Prince Harry and the memoir he's got coming out. The scandalous activity that's surrounded that throne just in the last few years. Just since 2017 when my father came out with The New Throne of David. Revelation from God talking about how the throne, there's a new throne. And God's really, he's really spotlighting his royal family, a righteous family, because God is at the head. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He's the husband, soon to be, to the bride that is the church. The church is about to marry Jesus Christ. This is from John's Gospel, The Love of God, my father's booklet. It says, is that marriage vivid in your mind? Do you think about when the marriage is consummated and you're in that headquarters temple with Jesus Christ? I know that God's very elect have this vision in their minds, but is it deep enough in your minds to cause you to rejoice in your worst trial? Can you rejoice in times of trial and test? Because you know the marriage of the Lamb is come, or it's about to arrive. It's about to get here. What a future we have. What a vision. Let's look at Revelation 19, a few of these verses leading up to the memory verse in verse 7. Revelation 19:1, it says, and after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants, and you that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Verse 7 continues, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. Now, you talk about a celebration. And there's not going to be any pop stars at this one. No, there's going to be an angelic choir, an angelic host, singing in perfect harmony, singing praises to God. Now, that's the way you celebrate a royal throne. That's the way you celebrate a royal family. John's Gospel says, we must have this vision in order to get ready. Without it, we will fail. If we don't keep that wonderful marriage in our minds, we won't be positive and stirred and inspired. Think about marrying the Son of God. How often do we think about this? It should be right at the forefront of our thoughts, day in and day out. Don't wait until you're near the point of physical death to start thinking about the things that are most important. What about now? We're not but a few years away from this blessed event. This is something to celebrate. Let us be glad and rejoice. John's Gospel says, throughout eternity, people will be looking at us and saying, why, that's the bride of Jesus Christ. Is that vision deep enough to keep you stirred and moved to realize where all this is leading, even if you have to die? Are you stirred and moved by this vision? In the last couple of shows, we've talked about bringing energy to our worship of God, bringing energy to service in the work. Mr. Armstrong, as you heard from those clips I played yesterday and the day before, he was there in the early 80s lamenting the fact that the brethren just didn't show enough fire. They just didn't have the heart to really pour everything that they could into the work of God. It's just so easy to get selfish, to think about materialistic things, to get caught up in the physical. Verse 7 again, it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. So there will be a wife to marry Jesus Christ, and she will be ready. Ready for what? Well, ready to help him for all eternity. Go back to Genesis 2 and see why God created the woman in the first place. To be a help, a support, a complement to her head. And of course, that's not a message that is very popular today. This is nevertheless the truth of the Bible. And the reason God organized it the way that he did in Genesis 2 is because of this coming marriage between Jesus Christ and the bride of Christ. In the Ezekiel booklet, again, another booklet by my father, he says, Christ's wife must be ready when he returns. We are now to be preparing for that fabulous marriage, which Christ looks upon as already being consummated. That's why we're called his wife, not his fiancée. It says further on, we must be getting ready to be Christ's wife for all eternity. This is the most exalted reward ever offered to any human being at any time. The most exalted reward offered ever to any human being. Right up at the bride level. Right up, read Isaiah 56. We won't have time to get to that later because it's later on in my notes, but right up at the bride level, the mother level, you know, the mother that brings the children into the family. That's awesome to think on, to meditate over. Mr. Armstrong talked about this perfect character that the wife is developing and how that she develops this character upon voluntarily acquiescing to God's leadership, submitting, like it says in Ephesians 5. It's a great mystery to this world, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. We are in training, as I've covered in recent programs. We are getting ready, getting prepared to marry Jesus Christ. How clear is that royal marriage in your mind? And are you preparing for it? When Jesus Christ returns, will you be ready? Notice this parable in Matthew 22. We'll start at the first verse, Matthew 22 here. And verse 1 says, and Jesus answered and spoke unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I've prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. See, here's a situation where these servants, these righteous servants, were telling those invited to the wedding, warning them, in fact, that look, the wedding's ready. Now's the time to come. You can't delay. Verse 6, and the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. They slew the messengers. Verse 7 says, but when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. And then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. They weren't worthy to attend this royal wedding. They murdered the servants instead. Jesus says that we're to be ready. Matthew 24 and verse 44, you can just look at that later. But the same point is being made here in Matthew 22 in this parable. Verse 9 says, go you therefore. Here's the instructions the king gives to the servants because they couldn't find those that were invited. They couldn't find anyone that was ready to come. It says, go you therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. The wedding was furnished with guests, both bad and good. Some bad ones invited as well. Just anyone that's willing. What are the lessons of this parable? What is it saying? What is it saying about the stubbornness of human nature? About just how unappreciative we are of what God is offering us, of what God is inviting us to. People just don't, so many in this Laodicean era, they have just lost total interest in the plan of God, in the plan that God's working out here below. What a shame. There is no greater tragedy than this. God's offering them the role of the bride of Jesus Christ, the bride of the Son of God. And they just dismissively walk away as if it's no big deal. I've got more important things to think about. I've just bought some property, as it says over in the other parable in Luke 14. I'll get to that later if we have time. I just got married in the flesh, physically, so I mean, I can't be bothered with this invitation. This is the way people are reasoning. And there's no higher calling in life than what I'm describing to you today. Verse 11 says, and when the king came to see his guests, he saw there was a man which had not on a wedding garment. So he wasn't dressed appropriately. And you can see from what we read in Revelation 19 how that our attire, the fine linen that we're to adorn ourselves with as the bride of Christ, it's something that typifies righteousness. And so here was someone who didn't show up prepared. He wasn't ready for the marriage, not even to attend it as a guest. This is from Mystery of the Ages. Here again, this shows, this parable and other passages show that, you know, Christ is not on this soul-saving crusade trying to get as many people saved as he can before it's too late. But he is sending out the invitations to a select few, and we've got to respond. We've got to be moved to action. But this fellow that showed up in the unholy garments, there's a lesson in that too, that, you know, we can't just show up in the church just as we are. They sing about this in some of the denominations in Christianity. Just come as you are and everything's fine. Come as you are. You don't have to make changes. You don't have to do anything different. Just receive Jesus into your heart. This is from page 204 of Mystery of the Ages. It's in the sixth chapter, Why the Church? You know, what's the purpose for the church? Powerful chapter. It's the longest chapter in the book, by the way. Here again, the 800 number. If you don't have Mystery of the Ages, call our operators today, 1-866-930-3024. But this is from page 204 in Mystery. It says, never did Jesus beg or plead with anyone to give one's heart to him. At Jacob's well in Samaria, Jesus spoke to a woman about the Holy Spirit in terms of living water. The woman said to Jesus, sir, give me this water that I thirst not. Here was a direct request from an unconverted woman for salvation and the gift of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus only told her of her sins, of what she had to repent of. He did not say, come to me just as you are, as you are in your sins. He didn't say this. He told her about her sins. He told her she needed to repent. He told her she needed to change. You don't see an example of this anywhere in the Bible, Christ, that is, begging for people to just receive him into their hearts, and then everything's fine, everything's done. Now, why is that? How could so many Christian denominations be so wrong on something so central to the teachings of Jesus Christ? If we're invited to the wedding, it goes without saying that we've got to show up in the right garments. We've got to show up, in other words, prepared. We've got to demonstrate to God that we're ready for this, that we're ready to marry Jesus Christ. You can't imagine a bride waltzing into, you know, the meeting hall where the service is, the marriage ceremony is taking place, and she just shows up in her cut-off jeans or whatever it is, a t-shirt maybe. I suppose these days that's probably something that does happen from time to time. But we're talking about something, a different kind of celebration than what you see in the world today, even in the royal family in Britain. You see, if you look closely enough, dark clouds all around, and then this obsession with celebrity culture, and these woke policies and ideas and agendas that they champion. How very different it is from the royal family of God. God says, let us be glad and rejoice, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. She's ready. Just to finish this parable here, this is verse 12 of Matthew 22. It says, and he said unto him, friend, how came you in here? This is the individual that came in without the proper garments. Friend, how came you in here, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Well, that's a meaningful verse there at the end. Many are called, but few are chosen. You see, many are called to this marriage supper, but only a few accept the invitation. Only a few are ready for the return of Jesus Christ and the marriage to Jesus Christ, our head, our master, our leader, our husband. Eventually to be father over billions and billions as God the Father just expands his family vision on out into the universe even. What a spectacular vision we have. And God says, Proverbs 29:18 says, without that vision, I mean, you're going to perish. You're going to fall away. You're going to walk away from this. Or maybe you'll attempt to show up, but you won't have the right garment on. God says this is something to rejoice. This is something to rejoice. The fact that the bride has made herself ready. Let us be glad. Just to repeat it one last time. Revelation 19 and verse 7. It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, you can email us, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's program, and we'll see you next time.